turn to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes is after the Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, a book of what is called by scholars wisdom literature. And you'll notice today's sermon is entitled Seasons, and that's because it's graduation Sunday. Once a year, we have graduation Sunday when we celebrate our high school and college graduates. And this year, in the Children of the Light dance group, several of our students were involved in a senior project for the Children of the Light dance ministry, and it was entitled Seasons. And it's really such a great title for graduation and what's happening at graduation. And so I chose Ecclesiastes 3 because it speaks very poignantly and wisely to us about how to relate to the seasons and to the times that God brings us into in life. Let me read for us. This is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Let's pray. Well, Father in heaven, how incredible is it that we have before us the living, inspired word from your mouth that teaches us even about the living word that took upon himself human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and displayed for us the fullness of what you are like, even going to the cross, even dying, even being raised for us and for our salvation, even being ascended into heaven and pouring out the Holy Spirit upon us that we might understand the things written in your word. So we pray, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus Christ, give us understanding that we might do your word. Amen. So, if you've been here for some time, you've heard me mention probably that I used to work at an assisted living facility, Sunrise Assisted Living, back in St. Louis when I was in seminary. And I worked on the third floor with those who had dementia. The elevators were locked so people couldn't leave. It's because dementia is this terrible disease. It takes away your short-term memory, but you still retain your long-term memory. People will often forget the very thing you had just mentioned to them, but they'll remember and sometimes think that they are in a different time in their life. I remember one day I was leaving one area of the neighborhood, as we call it, the third floor, walking out of the kitchen, and a lovely older woman rolled up in her wheelchair to me, very anxious, very worried. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, We've got to hurry. We're going to miss the bus." I said, "Don't worry about it. We don't have any bus to catch today." She said, "Are you kidding me? I've got to be at school in 10 minutes." As the conversation proceeded, it became obvious that she believed that she was in elementary school. A completely different season, a completely different time in her life. Despite the fact that around her were many, many older people, Even as she looked at her own hands or her own feet or her own body, she could see that she was no child. Even though she's in a wheelchair, she still believed that she was in that season of life, elementary school, and not really at the last season of her life. Now, nobody here has dementia, as far as I know, thanks be to God. But we can make the same foolish errors in our own lives. We can make the same foolish errors. We can fail to discern the season or the time that God has brought into our life. And rather than responding wisely to the season that we're in, we respond foolishly. It's because of sin. I mean, you can see it, for example, in this old show. Wouldn't recommend watching it. In fact, I won't even tell you the title of it. But in this show, this man was very unhappy with the season of life that he was living in. He was unhappy with his job, unhappy with his wife, unhappy with his kids. Nothing made him happy in this time of his life. But there was a point he really enjoyed when he was the high school quarterback in his high school. Those were his glory days. He was quite good. But the thing is, he sort of lived there all the time. He never really accepted that he was in a different season of life. And so in one episode, he decides to call up all his old high school friends. You know, they're like 55. And go out and play football. And of course, he ends up like breaking his leg. Because he hasn't really fully accepted that as good as that season was, and as much as he can be happy about it, that season has passed. He's in a different season. Season where he's building a family. We can all make this error. And so as Christians, we're called to discern the times that God brings into our lives and live wisely in them by the Spirit of Christ. As Christians, we're called to recognize the season of life that God has brought us into and then respond to that season that God has brought about by living wisely through the strength and the grace that the Spirit of Christ gives to us. So we're just going to work verse by verse. I don't have, you know, a nice three-point sermon for you today, but we're just going to work through this verse by verse. It begins here in verse 1, of course, for everything there is a season. And that's so important, that little word. Did you catch it? Is. For everything there is a season. For everything there is a time. You know why? Because God determines what things are. We don't determine it. It's popular in our day and age to think that we determine everything. I can determine what gender I am. I can determine what season I'm living in. It's all up to me. But this is totally wrong-headed. No, the Scriptures proclaim to us that there is a God, and He is the Creator, and He is fully in control. He sustains and governs every moment of everything according to His eternal plan, all while allowing for the free and responsible decisions of human beings. How that all works out, we can't understand it fully. And you see, that's so much the point of Ecclesiastes. You live in a world under the hand of a God that you cannot fully understand. But here's what you can do. You can still live faithfully unto Him with wisdom. Even without understanding why this event happened or why this season of life has begun to transpire, we can still live by His grace, depending upon Him in prayer, with wisdom. Because He's at work in us. And that's the point about there is a season. And there is a time for every matter under heaven. That's where we live. We're under heaven. We don't see the heavenly plan. We're down here. We're under the sun, as the preacher often says in Ecclesiastes. So our role is not to understand it all, but to respond to the seasons that God brings into our life with Christ-like wisdom. So let's consider these seasons. Verse 2. And verse 2 begins with the forest. We sort of see the forest, and then as we proceed through the rest of the verses, we begin to enter into the forest and look at the trees. What is this forest? Well, it's the season of life in general. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. That's the season that we're all in. Every one of us. We all share that. Graduation is just a specific season in the larger scope of life that we're all in. A time to be born and a time to die. And it's worthy of reflection. It's worthy of reflection. Now, of course, this is a verse that has been written after Adam, our first father, fell, dragging us all down into what the theologians call original sin, having been corrupted by the heart disease of sin that causes us to forget what season that we're in. We die. But I think at this point we've got to mention something. There is a way out. There is one who's died and yet been raised. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a time to be born, and for all of us there will be a day that you die, but He has died and He has been raised, so that if you believe in Him, you will be forgiven of your sins because He has died in your place. And if you believe in Him, you will be raised not only to spiritual new life, but to physical new life. You see, for Christians, when we believe in Jesus, yes, we are forgiven of our sins. And when our bodies die, they go into the grave, but our souls go to be with Christ in heaven. And then when He returns to make all things new, He reunites our souls with our bodies now made immortal for life in a new heaven and a new earth, to see the wonder of the vision of the glory of God and to be filled with fulfillment beyond words. This is the tremendous, outstanding gospel that we believe. But nevertheless, all of us will die, unless Christ returns before that. And so the question to say is, well, how do I live in this season wisely? What do I do with the time I have? I saw a TikTok video recently, and this girl, she got on and she said, what is it all about? You know, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you change, you go to the gym, you come home, you take a shower, you eat, you go to bed, you do it the next day, you do it the next day, you do it the next day, you get married, you have kids, you retire, then you die. What's it all about? Yeah, what is it all about? Well, I love this next verse, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. It's to be taken with that first verse. Our lives are being compared to a tree, even to a vine that has branches that can bear fruit. The season of life is about bearing fruit for the Creator, even bearing fruit for the Savior, who takes dead sinners and embeds them in the living Lord Jesus Christ by His Spirit so that we might live for His glory. That's what life is about. Is that what you are doing with your life? You only have so much time to bear fruit. Why waste another hour? Well, that's the forest. Let's look at a few of the trees. Verse 3, or rather 4. We'll jump ahead to 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. What I find so striking about these times is that they're marked by emotion. Emotions. Did you know Christianity is not a stoic religion? Christianity is a religion that is about reviving the fullness of what it means to be a human, both in your mind and your actions, but also your heart. And that counts for men too. Christianity isn't a religion of emotions
for women, but not for men.
Christianity, we are taught, There is a time that God brings into our life when men are supposed to cry. And there's a time that God brings into our life when it's most appropriate and fitting for us to laugh. If your child dies and you don't cry, you've got a serious problem. If your daughter meets a wonderful man and gets married, and you can't laugh at the wedding and dance, God brings these seasons into our life to feel alive, to feel the fullness of life. There is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. And you know what I think is so interesting is that graduation is kind of both. Graduation is kind of both. I know we think graduation is a time to laugh, it's a time to dance, it's a time to have joy. And it is, because you've achieved something. You've worked hard for 12 or 13, 14, 15 years to get to where you are. That was not easy. So it's something to celebrate. We're proud of you. But even for you graduates, I'll speak to you. And of course, anybody here who has graduated, think back to when you graduated. You were leaving something behind that you won't have again. And when you do that, you're losing something. There are certain people you saw every day in college or high school. You're not going to see them anymore. At least not like that. You might see them on Facebook occasionally. But the relationships are going to change. And there's a loss to that. Some teacher that was very special to you. The relationship has changed now. And so it's time to take account for that. I mean, you might not cry because you're not going to see your teacher anymore, but it's a time to at least recognize that loss and feel the weight of it, because that's also the time that God has brought into your life. I'd advocate journaling to everybody. You can't journal necessarily 5 hours a day or even 5 hours a week, but maybe you can find time for 20 minutes a week, because how can you really recognize the seasons or the times if you don't take some time to reflect? So graduates, this week, take some time to reflect. Where has God brought some season for weeping into your life now, and also a season for joy? I advocate that to all of us, that we might discern the seasons and live with wisdom by the Spirit of Christ. In verse 6 we see a time to seek and a time to lose. That makes me think of a bus. No. For some reason, you've got to catch a bus. I don't know. You think of why you might need to catch a bus. Okay? And you left the house late because your clock was set wrong because the electricity got cut last week and you never reset the clock properly. And so then when you go out to catch the bus, you got out there, you thought 5 minutes early, and out, you're actually about 30 seconds behind because you see the bus already there, and it's closing the doors, and it's leaving, and you start seeking. You're seeking. You're running as fast as you can. It's the time to seek, right? And then you catch it, and he opens it up because he saw you. You get on. But what if you're seeking? You're running. He gets through the green light. Uh-oh, it turns yellow, it turns red, and all of a sudden, as you get to the highway, you could have kept running, you could have caught it, but it's filled with cars. And only a fool would cross the street at that point. You might die. So guess what time it is? It's a time to lose. You just got to accept it. You missed the bus. Now, maybe that will help you when you're trying to catch a bus one day. But what I really want this to help you with is recognizing that there is a time to seek. There's a time to seek a particular kind of job you want. There's a time to seek a particular relationship, maybe a love relationship, a particular woman or a particular man that you might want to marry, maybe a particular place you want to live or something like that. And go for it. Because God's brought into your life a time to seek, not to sit back and wait for it to happen. He's calling you to seek it out. But then there's also a time to lose. There's a time for you to recognize, I think God is calling me to stop and to pursue something different. And that's wisdom. Sometimes you're going to have to ask people around you, do you think I need to stop pursuing him? Do you think I need to stop pursuing this or that? What do you think? Because I see godly, spirit-given wisdom in you. Help me out. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Verse 6b. My wife and I deal with this a lot. We disagree about this season, right? Because I like to keep food in my refrigerator for about a year and a half. Because it's still fine. I'm going to eat it. Dorothy likes to keep it for like 3 days. Because she's wise. And so we sometimes have disagreements because I find my sandwich in the trash. I'm like, that was completely mine. But you see, this only highlights the fact that we need to discern the seasons together. And even if she thinks it's time to throw away and I think it's time to keep, we need to work this out together. And this is going to happen in life. You're going to think it's one season. Your friend or your spouse or your pastor or your elders or whatever are going to think it's a different season. And we've got to work together to try to discern what God has brought into the life of the church or the family or the workplace. And then respond with Christian wisdom, which, you know, sometimes, well, always, is unselfish and self-sacrificing. Willing to yield. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know, some of us, we are the kind who never say a word. And so a time to keep silence for us, we're like, that's always, right? And then for others of us, we just like to talk, right? I'm a pastor. I'm one of those, I guess. I get myself in trouble because I just think it's always time to talk, right? You guys have another hour here, right? I can keep going, right? Tim, it was time to stop 10 minutes ago. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to remain silent. But here's the thing. We all have our proclivities. Some of us tend to want to be silent. Others of us tend to want to talk. But you need to pay attention. What is God bringing you into? Because you might need to speak up in the college classroom with a real question. Or you might need to remain silent in a particular situation too. And you need to pray about that for wisdom to know when to speak, when to keep silence. A time to love and a time to hate. Now this can be a little confusing, right? Aren't we always called to love? Jesus taught us the two commandments. All of the law can be summed up with love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Bless them. Do not curse them. And it's true. All time, every day, 24/7, 365, is a time to love. And that's how we have to interpret a time to hate. Because the time to hate is still a time to love. And therefore, we must hate something for the sake of the greater good of others. Listen, if you're walking down one day, college graduates, with maybe your best friend, because the Lord calls you to singleness, or maybe you're married, and somebody shouts obscenities at your friend or your spouse, you shouldn't love that. You should hate that. If someone says that about my wife or my daughters, I don't love that. I hate that. When we hear about abortion, we don't love abortion, we hate abortion. When we hear about trafficking of women, we don't love trafficking of women because we're good Christians. We hate it with our souls. And there's even an appropriate place, as one scholar writes, he says, while love for one's neighbor is the norm for biblical ethics, there is also a righteous anger that is legitimate under the appropriate circumstances. And he cites Psalm 139, 21 and 22, which reads, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies. And so I bless them. And so I bless them. And you know, the interesting thing here is The very next couplet, a time for war and a time for peace. Those are brought before us very explicitly, and of course, these verses are very poignant for our moment in the world. We're not pacifists as the church. We recognize that there are times when, for the sake of justice, when for the sake of the larger good of the world, it is worth a fight. There are times, even in our families, when conflict is the best thing for the sake of the greater good. If all we do is sweep things under the rug, those things will grow legs and crawl out the other side of the rug and bite you later. There is a time for war and a time for peace. So for those of us who tend to think it's always a time for war, we need to remember that too. It's not always time for conflict. You've got to let things roll off your back. Some things you need to overlook, and everything we need to forgive. But similar to how graduation has this interesting mixing of both weeping and laughter, the Christian life has this intermingling of war and peace. As God's people, as Christ's disciples, we are engaged in warfare every single day. A warfare on sin and a warfare on the devil. We hate the devil with a complete hatred. And sin, we sharpen our knives to put to death daily, so that we might put on the beautiful righteousness of Jesus. This is our calling. This is your calling as you move into this new season of college, or master's degree college. And for all of us, let us discern the seasons of our life and live faithfully in them by the Spirit of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this word. Grant us to think about how we structure our lives, that we might be more reflective in prayer or journaling, so that we can discern the times, accept them, and live wisely in them. That we might come to the end of our days and not hear from Jesus,
You could have done better.
But to hear from you, Jesus, well done, my good and faithful servant. We love you because you first loved us. Amen.